Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we've heard, what we've seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent at the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of our Lord. Where do you find hope? In those occasions of life when things are not what they should be, who do you turn to? Or what can you turn to? It's certainly a universal predicament. We have all been there. There's no way to know the person who wrote or the circumstances that were behind the words of Psalm 121. But clearly, whoever it was knew what we know, that there are times when the winds of fate blow hard against the landscape of our lives, when we struggle to have hope. "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord." We find that hope in the story of Abraham when God makes a promise to Abraham and Sarah. We find that hope in the words of Paul as he writes to his friends in Rome. It's a hope that is grounded hard in the promise of God and made real as the Holy Spirit brings the gift of faith. It is gospel. It is freedom. It is a certain place to turn to in all things, but certainly in those times when the winds of fate blow hard against the landscape of your life, when you don't know where else to turn. I find it more than a bit ironic that on the one hand, Scripture holds up a clear and a concrete vision of the hope that is the promise of God, and then shares with us a story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a religious man, mind you, one who knew well the promises to Abraham and Sarah, as well as the hope that is found in Psalm 121. And yet, confusion and doubt leads him to skulk around in the dark to find answers to the deep and troubling questions that were on his mind. Now, Nicodemus is utterly sincere about his faith. He carries the credentials that others knew him to be well-versed in the promises of God. As the story plays out in our gospel lesson, we see how it is possible that people like Nicodemus, who are certain that they know God and yet harbor a troubling sense of doubt and questioning. Jesus sheds light on the darkness of Nicodemus's searching and opens for him the promise of God in a new way. He has so many questions about the things of faith. I like Nicodemus. I find him quite likable in his humanity. He has so many questions for God, just like you and I do. What does it mean to be born again? How could such a thing be? What assumptions do I have for God that the words and action of Jesus call into question? If you are to be born again, then by definition, must you also not have to grow up again? What would be different if our lives, what would be different about our lives if that was true? Given the opportunity, how might we rewrite our life? Nicodemus was puzzled by the challenge that Jesus places before him. And given the opportunity, we would probably be puzzled as well. Jesus invited him to be curious about his life and his faith and to rethink his life in light of that invitation. If you were to be born again, how might the wrongs of the past be redeemed? If in your old life you struggled to believe that God truly loves you, would it make a difference in a new life that you have faith in a God of sacrificial love? How would you grow up in that gift of faith? In this late night conversation, Nicodemus is asked to rethink all of these things. Jesus challenges him to see the past, the present, and the future through the eyes of the God of sacrificial love. Nicodemus had a late night experience, and I have no doubt in my mind that you have had those as well. Many years ago, at 5 a.m, Susan woke me up and said, "My water broke." Now, this was a first-time event for us. It was not only early in the morning, but it was early in the pregnancy as well. And I was not quite awake. And being the sensitive, caring man that I am, I said, "No, it didn't. Go back to sleep." This did not go over well. Susan, being the demure, quiet woman that she is, came back at me with an order to get a certain part of my anatomy out of bed and call the hospital. Every one of us came forth from the waters of our birth. It's not by accident that Jesus reminds Nicodemus of the waters of our baptism. You had no choice about when or where or how you were brought into this world. The water broke. And there you were. In the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit calls you forth to new life. And in the flow of this baptismal grace, you are born again. Nicodemus had a hard time understanding this born again business. And so do we in many ways. Too often, I think we have seen it expressed as an expectation when in reality, it is a gift through the promise of God made certain in Jesus. Our lives may be made new. If you have ever had the privilege to watch the reaction of a baby in those first few minutes after they emerge from their mother, then you know what new life is like. There's a bit of sense of terror as they test out their new lungs. There is that look of surprise, much like the look of a person who's jumped into water that is much colder than they expected it to be. There is that first wail that always seems to be an angry cry, "Put me back!" New birth is miraculous and shocking, even violent at times. Imagine what must have been going through the mind of Nicodemus that Jesus would suggest being born again. There was a movie released back in 1997 or so that focused on this theme of new birth and a new way of life. It was called The Apostle. And for those of you who do Netflix, it's still available. The lead character, Sonny, was a Pentecostal preacher played by Robert Duvall. So now Sonny had more than enough reason to repent from his life. He struggles with what to do and then comes to an epiphany. He decides to put his old life behind him and be born again. He decides that he would drive his Lincoln, a symbol of his former life, into the river, and then he would emerge from the river and become an apostle of Jesus Christ and begin a ministry with the poor. Sonny had a formula, you see, for how he could be born again. And for Sonny, being born again could be reduced to a simple plan. For Nicodemus, this born again business was anything but simple. It was confusing. It was mysterious. Some Christians live with a spiritual certainty about that date and that time of their rebirth. The Nicodemus story reminds us that it doesn't always happen in such a way. There is room for mystery, you see. There is room for wonder. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like the wind, moves ahead of us, stirring us to faith, stirring faith in us even before we're aware of God's presence in our lives. I think it can be arrogant to believe that our rebirth can be reduced to a decision or a plan on our part. I think it can be arrogant on our part to think that way. For many Christians require a rebirth rather than being offered a rebirth as a gift of the Spirit. The theologian Richard Lisser writes, "You will be made new through water and the Spirit," Jesus says, "but even water is ambiguous. It may be a river that ravages the villages on its banks, a river for drowning or forgetting. It may be the church's river of life, a river for baptizing and remembering. Born again glides beneath the surface of time and place in the river of God's freedom. The Spirit of God makes us clean and whole and delivers us from drowning even before we can swim a stroke." Jesus met Nicodemus in the middle of the night. He challenged him to know the God who makes a difference. Where do you find hope? In those occasions of life when things are not what they should be, who do you turn to? Or what do you turn to? It's certainly a universal predicament. We've been there. There is hope. The one who descended from heaven, who is lifted up to the resurrection, reveals God's love and brings new life for all. As we look to that hope, we are reborn each day, each hour, reborn in God's love. Amen.